Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us on this evening before our National Day of Thanksgiving is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians in the 4th chapter, where again we hear, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Good parents try to teach their children to say thank you when someone gives them a gift. The results are sometimes comical. You have mom or dad asking the child, "What do you say?" And the little one just has a blank look on their face. It's like they just got asked a question about theoretical physics. They just want to play with their toy. But that's the pattern we learn from an early age. Someone does something nice for you. What do you say? Thank you. Very good. Now, if you follow that pattern throughout your life, it'll serve you well. Tonight's gospel is a pretty obvious reminder that we ought to thank God for the blessings that He's given to us. It's almost as if the 9 lepers needed someone to ask, "What do you say?" after their healing. You get your blessing, and then you're supposed to say thank you. That's the pattern. But what if you are told to flip the pattern around? To say thank you before the blessing comes. To thank God before He answers your prayer. Does that seem a little different to you? Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul urges you and me to do. Again, he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Are there things in your life that are making you anxious? Lift them up to God in prayer and give thanks. That's Paul's message. Lift your request to God, tell Him everything that's bothering you right now, and give thanks at the same time. Give thanks before you lift up your concerns. Give thanks while you lift up your concerns. Give thanks after you've lifted up your concerns. And then what? Then the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That peace that goes beyond understanding is a gift that comes to us in the very middle of our troubles. It doesn't remove every care. It doesn't solve every problem. Rather, it guards your heart and mind in Christ. It keeps you pointed at Christ. It keeps you plugged into Christ, so that your problems don't overwhelm you because of who is with you. That's not the pattern we're used to, is it? You might want to see results before you say thank you. But you see, Paul just wants us to learn to thank God for who He is. He wants you and me to thank God just for being the giver, regardless of what gift He chooses to give. And the candid truth is, we resist that. We resist it. The Christian author Henry Nouwen put a human face on that resistance when he described an elderly woman who was brought to a psychiatric center. And he writes, She was wild, swinging at everything in sight, frightening everyone so much that the doctors had to take everything away from her. But there was one small coin that she gripped in her fist and would not give up. In fact, it took two people to pry open her clenched hand and take that coin away. It was as if she would lose her very self if she lost that coin. If they deprived her of that possession, she would have nothing more and be nothing more. That was her fear. Giving thanks before we get our blessing loosens the grip of our clenched fist so that we might let go and receive the fullness of Christ Himself. So we need to ask, is there anything in your fist tonight? Is your fist clenching some guilt over a sin? Maybe it just happened. Maybe it's longer ago. As you give thanks to God, you are reminded of the awesome magnitude of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. No offense, but your sin pales in comparison to His self-giving love. Let your coin of guilt fall at the foot of Jesus Christ. See which one is bigger. Or maybe your fist is clenched and clinging to bitterness because you've been wronged by someone. Well, I want you to know that there is no undeserved suffering that Jesus cannot identify with. He's walked in those shoes. And in our suffering, we may get a glimpse of the cross of Christ. And maybe that's enough. Let your coin of bitterness fall at the foot of Jesus' cross, the cross that makes all forgiveness possible. Or maybe your fist is clenching to possessions or to a person or the desire for future security, anxiety about the possibility of losing someone or something causes us generally to grab on even more tightly, but you understand, that makes things worse, not better. The more we give thanks for God's faithfulness in the past, the more we come to trust God's future faithfulness. By reflecting on God's past guidance and help, you may be able to drop your coin of worry at the foot of Jesus' cross, where lasting security was bought and paid for you. And if there is something going on that's preventing you from giving any type of thanks to God, then lift your clenched fists to Him and ask Him to pry those open. And He's faithful. When you consider that the Son of God willingly went to the cross in your place, is there anything more appropriate than gratitude? When you remember that that same Jesus rose again and ascended into heaven to secure your eternal well-being, what else is there but overwhelming gratitude and thankfulness? And see, living in that gratitude and thankfulness makes you who you are meant to be. It was gratitude that prompted an old man to visit a broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Many Friday nights until his death in 1973, he would return carrying a large bucket of shrimp. As you can imagine, the seagulls would flock to this man as he threw out the food. Many years before, October 1942 to be exact, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected twist that turned this into the most harrowing experience of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men decided to ditch their plane in the ocean, and for about 24 days, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling on their rafts, biggest of which was 9 feet by 5 feet, as 10-foot sharks rammed into their raft over and over again. But of all their enemies at sea, the most formidable was starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone. It would take a miracle to sustain them. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon. We finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. And with my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Now, this is still Captain Eddie talking. Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. Don't ask me how I knew. I just knew. Everyone else knew it too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. That gull meant food. It meant survival. If I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull, and everyone said the same thing. It was almost like it wanted to be caught. Its flesh was eaten. Parts of it were used as bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained, and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from shore, offered itself. Captain Eddie and his companions lived to tell the tale. And he never forgot. Because many Friday evenings, around sunset, on a lonely stretch of the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white hair, little stooped, bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls as he walked, remembering that one which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle. On a day long past, Jesus made a lonely, painful walk up the hill of the skull, was nailed to a crossbeam, and gave himself without a struggle so that you could live. What do you say? And what walk of thanks and gratitude will you take? Let's pray. Father, we cannot begin to truly understand the depth of generosity and love that it took for you to offer your own Son so our sins could be wiped out so times of refreshing could come from you, so that we could have new and abundant and eternal life to live. There are so many things for which we could thank you tonight. And quite frankly, there's many things that we don't want to thank you for. We wonder why they're part of our lives tonight. Regardless, may we be thankful for this, that Jesus, our Savior, your Son, laid down his life for us, took it up again, so that we could feel your embrace now and forever. Work that gratitude in our hearts, Lord, that opens our hands for service in your name. Amen.